Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Hello, Tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, joined by my co-host, Landon Mance. Today, we're talking about strategic planning. So, Landon, why don't you kind of introduce or, you know, explain or define what strategic planning is for those who are listening and may not be quite sure what is meant by that.
So, strategic planning is an organized process getting together the key team members of your small business to meet on a regular basis, working towards your group identified North Star, you know, your big long-term goals, and then breaking those down into bite-sized annual and quarterly goals, and ensuring that everybody's on the same page, working towards the same goals with a shared vision amongst the entire executive team, and ultimately ensuring that that disseminates down to the rest of the organization.
And in full disclosure, this is some work that we do for clients of ours. So we're a bit biased in the way that we will talk about this, I'm sure, but that's it. I mean, it's really about making sure that the team is aligned, right? So you're putting together this long-term goal, like whatever. I mean, everybody's heard the term BHAG. That's a trademarked term. So we typically won't use that term. But you're putting together something, like you said, you know, you called it your North Star, that's way out there, but it's something that's going to stretch you. It's not something that's a given, right? Like if you've been in business for 3 years and you've grown 100% every single year, to say that in 10 years you're going to be double what you are today, that's probably not really a stretch goal because you've doubled every year for the first 3 years. Now, will the doubling continue every year? Not likely, right? Most companies aren't going to continue to double every year after the first 3 years, but it should still be something that's going to stretch you, right? So most of the time, the clients that we work with, that big goal that they're working towards, that North Star, is typically a sale price or a revenue amount or a profitability amount by a certain date that's out there, that's a way out there, like I said, and it's going to stretch you and the team. And then, like Landon mentioned, okay, we've set that, we've put it out there. Maybe it's 8 years out, maybe it's 10 years out. Now, where do we need to be in 3 years to be able to be on track? Where do we need to be in 1 year to be on track? And what do we need to do quarter by quarter to be able to make sure that we're on track there? So it's about breaking it down into bite-sized things that we can do on a quarterly basis, right? We like to look at it as the power of 90, right? The ability to look at things from a 90-day perspective. What can we accomplish in the next 90 days that's going to put us on track for the following 10 years? And here's where the biased part comes in, right? That's pretty self-explanatory. Most companies could really go out there and they could kind of set those goals themselves and make sure that they're using, you know, SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound, right? Most teams could do that. The hard part is getting vulnerable with the rest of the team and having somebody to hold you accountable, because the team doesn't always do the best job of holding the team accountable. What do you think, Landon?
There's no doubt about it. And most people know what EOS is, right? EOS is the Entrepreneur Operating System, kind of created by Gino Wickman, and EOS has exploded the last about 5 years. They put out a lot of great content for small business owners. They talk a lot about, you know, people, processes, you know, vision, and a great organization. One of the reasons I think that EOS has become really popular is around the facilitation piece. Because when you hire an EOS implementer or a business coach or some kind of person that helps facilitate this kind of work, what happens is they act as the catalyst to ensure that these things are actually getting done. Because left to our own devices, us entrepreneurs, we are not going to necessarily schedule a full 1 or 2 day session where we're not in the office, we're not responding to emails, we're not putting out fires. We are coming together as a leadership team to ensure that we are all aligned and working towards a shared vision. And when you do that, it creates astounding results. We've seen it time and time again, the impact that this kind of work can have on a small business, medium-sized business that does want to grow, that does want to take things to the next level, that does want to lift up their executive team so that they can perform at higher levels.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me think of the definition of insanity, right? I mean, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And the reality is there are fantastic business leaders out there, and many people who are listening to this program are probably in that category of great business leaders, setting a good vision for the company and you know, trying to get the team to march towards that. But there's truly a power in an outside perspective and an outside facilitation of these types of meetings and making sure that, like you said, that there's somebody who's being that catalyst and holding the team accountable that's not the team leader, right? The CEO, the owner, the president, the founder, whatever title we're talking about here. Having somebody from an outside perspective brings a lot of power because they can challenge certain thoughts and feelings and deep seated or deep rooted biases that may exist inside of the team or a belief that there's an inability to do certain things. That outside perspective can bring extreme power to a team that's trying to build towards something that's pretty awesome and tough to do.
So I thought it'd be good for us to kind of go through a case study. We both know what company we want to talk about. So just for in the spirit of privacy, let's just refer to them as, we'll call them SMB Co. And let's talk about SMB Co. as just a quick case study. So I'll lay the groundwork real quick. We started doing strategic planning for SMB Co. about a year ago. So we've had 3 or 4 all-day executive sessions with them, some in person, some over Zoom. And we have mid-quarter check-ins with them. So we've had, you know, call it 6 to 8 interactions with them in the last year around their strategic planning. Probably a few more than that, as we have just some one-off conversations about the work and making sure that they're plugged into their dashboard online, et cetera. So SMB Co. has been around for about 20 years. They do roughly about $10 million a year in revenue. They have an executive team of 4, which includes the 2 owners. I think they've got a total staff of 30 to 40. And the purpose of them engaging us is that they were kind of hitting a ceiling in the business. They've got an aligned executive team, meaning they've been working together for 15 plus years. They've got really, really strong rapport and trust between, you know, the 4 leaders. But they knew, you know, the 2 owners just kind of knew that they had it within them to take things to the next level, but they needed to make sure that everybody was on the same page, heading in the right direction. As EOS, you know, says it, right people, right seats, and that, you know, they needed to come together on a regular basis to figure out where they are, figure out the issues that they needed to identify, have conversations about, and solve. And that's really what they needed to do to kind of get this company to the next level. And so that's ultimately why they engage with us. And, you know, just to be clear, we have helped facilitate what has transpired, but ultimately it boils down to them. And they're the ones that have made the progress And the reasons that they, that, you know, the reason that they've had success is because they've buckled down. They've made the commitment to have these sessions. They've made the commitment to hold themselves accountable, you know, during these 90-day sessions.
Yeah. I mean, it's been an interesting journey because there have been some hiccups, and we've talked about this on the podcast before. And we share this with any team that we do this work with. We put some videos out on this, but when you start this work, there's typically a J curve or a hockey stick type of an outcome, which means that early on you have that dip, right? It becomes harder, or, you know, you're uncomfortable because you're doing things, and maybe there's, you know, some distractions or something that pulls you away, or you don't feel like you're accomplishing the things that you need to. And so that very first quarter of this work specifically, and sometimes beyond that, can be pretty brutal. And we definitely experienced that with this team. When we got to the second quarterly meeting, there were some members of the team that were just super overwhelmed and struggled with this whole process. Now, part of that was they took on too many things to do during that first quarter. And we had warned them that it was too much, and they felt like they could do it. And that's typical. A lot of teams that are high performing teams that are pretty well aligned feel like they can take on more than they can. And so we got to the end of that first quarter and they were struggling. And so the second quarter, we adjusted a little bit and they felt better at the end of the second quarter. We've had feedback from the founders specifically that say they're more aligned than they've ever been. And they feel like they're marching towards, you know, some goals there. Now, there's still some hiccups with this team, right? There's still some pushback. And part of that is personalities that are different and approaches that are different. But we take an opportunity in these meetings to kind of help realign them and make sure that everybody's on the same page, because it's also hard as an executive to kind of delegate. I mean, we're going to talk about this in our webinar in a little bit, but it's hard when you're a high performer, a type A personality typically, that for you to delegate and give away some of the responsibilities or trust that somebody else will do things as well as you can and not lose business and not, you know, whatever. Those have been some of the struggles that we've had with this team. But the ability that they've had to kind of start to accomplish things and check things off and realize that they're making progress and they're competing with very large competitors in this space that are household names, and they're figuring out a way to carve out their niche and find success. They're really starting to gel and to be on this path that they should be.
It's cool to watch these successes and realizations and epiphanies come to the surface as teams sit together in a room, you know, executive teams sit together in a room for 8 hours and really collaborate. And like I said earlier, you know, identify issues, realign themselves, set new goals for the next quarter. And the reality is that there are some companies that self-implement this kind of work, and they do it well, but that's the exception. Most companies, in order to actually get this kind of work done and put it on the schedule and make sure everybody's there and that the meeting runs smoothly and on time, you know, you need somebody to facilitate that work. And there's a lot of great people out there that facilitate this kind of work, whether it's an EOS implementer, it's a Pinnacle business guide. There's a bunch of great coaching related business consultancy type organizations, you know, that do this kind of work. You know, we do this for a very small handful of clients. We are extremely selective in who we do it with because it's very time consuming. It's very intense. It's demanding, but we do the work because we know that it's extremely impactful for teams. One of the things I think that's worth just talking about for a second, and we've seen this over the years, companies that have done this kind of work. And I'm not going to say it's one of the downsides to the work, because it's definitely not a downside, but it's one of the challenges that owners have to deal with when you're doing this kind of work, is that it can potentially identify people on executive teams that may not be the right person. And that's a hard pill to swallow, because you know, maybe an executive on your team has been there for a long time. You know, you've got a really great relationship with this person. They're a high performing person, but through this kind of work, you may realize that they may not be the right person to move you forward. They've been the right person to get you where you wanted, where you currently are, but they may not be the right person to get you where you are trying to go in the future. So that can be a really big challenge to overcome, because if that is identified that somebody is not, they're not the right person on the right seat on the bus, then there's only two options. Well, that's not true. There's three options. One, you do nothing and you continue as is. Option two is you find a different role for them in the organization. Or three is that person doesn't work for the organization any longer. And that can come about in two ways, right? One is they self-select out. And we've seen that happen in the past where somebody self-selects out. And option two would be you got to let them go. And that's not an easy thing to do, especially if it's somebody that's on your leadership team that you've got a really close relationship with.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely one of the difficult things that can come out of this is that this process really kind of, to use a term that is used and maybe is not appropriate all the time, but to open up the kimono of the business, right? And to expose exactly what's going on internally with each individual member of the executive team, what's going on in each individual department, to kind of see everything inside and understand that, oh, wow, this person may not fully align with who we are and what we're trying to do. Like you said, they may self-select out and realize, wow, this is not what I want to be a part of, or this doesn't feel right, or I'm going to be exposed if we continue to do this. So I'm going to self-select out now, right? That's the hard part, right? Is these are people. These are people that you've worked with and spent a lot of time with that are valuable to the organization. But it does come to that. I mean, I had a conversation with one of our coaching clients yesterday about this very thing. We're talking about doing a full reorganization of their organizational structure. And they've got a person that's sitting in a particular seat that's probably not sitting in the right seat with the way that things are going to go forward and may fit in this particular seat, but that may not be what they want to do. And they could see them self-selecting out rather than making the adjustments to the way that they do things today to fit in the seat that's being created or changed in the organization.
And we've even seen it where the founder, CEO, leader of the company, we've even seen it in the past where they really start to question whether they are the right person to remain in the seat to lead the organization. And so what does that mean? I mean, that means that, you know, the founder, CEO, who's essentially running the company, you know, making all the important decisions, is looking at the organization and looking at where they want to take the organization and genuinely asking themselves, like, am I the right person to take this organization to the next level? Clearly, I was the right person to take the company to where we are today because we've experienced success. We've grown. We're doing X amount of $1 million a year in sales and X amount of hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars a year in profit. So we're certainly successful by most measures, but that does not mean that that is the right person to take the organization to where they are setting their sights, you know, in the future. And I would say that not every founder, CEO has that ability to humble themselves enough to identify that they are not the right person. And that's why a lot of small and medium-sized businesses, they reach a ceiling and they just continue to bump their heads against that ceiling and they never get past a certain point. We see that every day in the world that we kind of live in the small and medium-sized business world. But it's not easy. As entrepreneurs, as founders, you know, it's not easy for us to like look in the mirror and say, gosh, I really want to take this company from $10 million to $30 million a year in sales, or from $3 million to $10 million a year in sales, and I don't think that I'm the right person to do that. And that takes a certain type of person to identify that, to realize that, and to have enough humility to say, you know, hey, I got to find somebody that has been there and done that, and to essentially replace yourself as the leader of the organization. And maybe you move into, doesn't mean that you have to replace yourself as the owner, but it might mean that you have to replace yourself as the leader. And then, you know, maybe you move into like a advisory type position, or maybe you know, your strong suit is really in sales. So you move into the VP of sales or some other type of role and really step aside and let somebody else take the reins and take the company to where you are setting your sights to go.
I mean, you got to check your ego at the door, and that's really hard to do for almost anybody. But like I mentioned earlier, specifically business owners or founders are typically that type A personality, have confidence, belief in themselves. But to recognize that is a tough thing to do. We do see it all the time. I think that in small business, we shy away from it, or we don't maybe realize it, or don't think that we can afford to bring somebody in to do what we do and still figure out a way to make a decent living for ourselves. And so it just doesn't happen, right? I mean, I don't have the exact statistics in front of me, but we all know that around 95 to 99% of all businesses in this country will never exceed $1 million in revenue, right? And so the question is it because the wrong person's at the helm and they're not sure how to take it to the next level? Or maybe the right person's there, but they're still not sure how to take it to the next level, right? And so it's interesting, because we can look at large companies, like companies that end up going public, or big technologies that are really crazy or whatever. And you got these founders that may be like really, really good coders and engineers, and they create something that's just amazing. And they're a fantastic inventor, but they're not a business owner. They're not a leader. They're not a person that leads other people. They're not somebody who understands business strategy and how to put together business operations and processes and, you know, all these types of things that are needed to grow an actual business. So there's nothing wrong with realizing, you know what, my strengths are over here, and somebody else has the strengths here that we need, and understanding that the two working together, even if it's just, I'm still the CEO, but I brought in a COO that's really good at operations, or a CFO that's really good at the finances of the business, so that we can take this to the next level. There are a lot of ways to try to figure this out, and it shouldn't be your own ego that's stopping you from doing that. Because, you know, like you're alluding to, what got you here will not get you there. And if there is where you want to go, then let's figure out a way to get there, regardless of who's sitting in what seat. Let's figure out what the seats need to be and what the processes need to be so that you can actually get there.
Yeah, well said. I think that's a great note to close on. The power that comes from getting your executive team up out of the office or out of their homes if they work, bringing together everybody, hopefully in person, one time per quarter for a half or an all day session facilitated by somebody that has done this before. The power that can come out of this kind of work is, I'd say it's life-changing for, you know, the individuals that are involved in the work, and it can definitely be life-changing for the business as well. So if you've never done strategic planning in your small business, you know, certainly reach out to us. We're happy to have a conversation to see if it's, you know, if it's a good fit. Again, we're very selective in who we work with in that work, just because we don't have a lot of capacity, but we're happy to have a conversation. And even if we determine that, you know, we may not be the right team for you, we've got relationships with several other wonderful facilitators, and we're happy to facilitate an introduction to another facilitator if need be. So we're happy to help in any way that we can. And we've got our webinar in about an hour on delegation, which is the secret sauce to kind of scaling your business. So yeah, we'll look forward to seeing anybody on there as well.
Listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised